Here we go. All right, our scripture verse for today is Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, and then chapter 20, verse 7. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and then chapter 20, verse 7. Let us hear God's word. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." And then reading from chapter 20, verse 7, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father God, we come before you now asking that your mercies overflow to us, that you would give us ears to hear, minds to comprehend, that you would work in us that we may be drawn closer to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I don't think any of us have ever gone through what Job experienced all in one day. Yes, we've all had things happen to us, but all in one day, Job lost everything. But what is amazing is that he did not take the Lord's name in vain when everything happened. Instead, he hallowed God's name. He praised God's name. He sought after God to strengthen him and to comfort him. But what does it mean to hallow God's name? When we say the Lord's Prayer, the third commandment is so important that Jesus puts that right up there at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When Jesus is teaching us to pray, he wants us to remember the third commandment. But what does it all mean? What does it mean to hallow God's name? Well, we hallow God's name simply by loving him for his holiness. He is the essence of that which is beautiful. Everything in the earth that is good, that is beautiful, that is pure, reflects the goodness and the purity and the holiness of God. He is the first cause of beauty. Though when the prophet Isaiah saw Jesus Christ, highly exalted, Isaiah was scared because he began to literally come apart. And he says, "I am a sinful man and I live among people that are sinful." But yet, being redeemed in Christ, the holiness of God is seen as something beautiful. Everything that is good and beautiful and pleasant and lovely about the creation reflects the loveliness and the beauty of God. The scriptures say we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God blesses everybody, the righteous and the unrighteous both receive good things. But it is only the righteous, God's people, who will seek to hallow his name and will love him, not just for what he gives, but love him for who he is. The hypocrite, the unrighteous, they receive good things from God, yet they take God's name in vain They expect God to serve them. Another way that we hallow the name of the Lord is, and this should be self-evident, is obedience to His commands. Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, "Love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commandments always." Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Notice the attitude of the heart. Love. If you love, the response is you will seek to keep the commandments of Christ. If you love Him, you will hallow His name by doing what He says. The rebel doesn't honor the king. He doesn't like what the king says. He doesn't like what the king does. But those who love the king seek to obey His word. Such is the attitude of those who hallow God's name. The one who hallows God's name is like the psalmist. The psalmist says, "I delight to do thy will, O God. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your words." The scriptures give us many examples of the saints of old, how they hallowed God's name. Abraham honored God by his obedience. He was getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac. Why? Because God had told him to go sacrifice your son. God stopped him immediately before he put the knife to his throat. But Abraham showed his love by obeying God's commandment. Abraham reasoned that God could raise Isaac from the dead. See, he believed God's word. And so therefore he was obedient to God's word. Peter, he honored Christ when, after Peter had been out fishing all day long, didn't catch anything, not even a little minnow. Caught nothing. Comes back to shore and Jesus says, "Go over there. Right over there. You see that spot over there? Go throw your nets over there." Peter says, "Lord, I'm the fisherman here. And we've been doing this all day long. We've got nothing. But Jesus, because you said so, I will do it." So Peter, James, and John, they throw the net out. And it is so full of fish that they have to call others to help them bring it in. Jesus, because you said to do it. It goes against all reason. But because you said to do it, I will do it. Peter was hallowing God's name. He was keeping God's name holy. God called Moses, "I want you to go back to Egypt and bring Israel out. All the people, bring them out." Moses kind of looks around and says, "Who, me? I can't do that. I'm not a trained speaker. How in the world am I going to do that?" But Moses hallowed God's name and he did what God said to do. And of course, the rest is history. Moses did bring the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. We hallow God's name by keeping His decrees, especially His commandments and decrees on how we treat one another. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Children, honor your father and mother. The church, love your neighbor as yourselves. Paul says, be imitators of God and live a life of love. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. In all these ways, we hallow God's name. But here's the biggie. He who hallows God's name is going to trust Him for all things. Here's where the rubber meets the road. When you trust someone, you make a statement about their character. You're saying that they have a good character. Their words are true. You can depend upon them. That person has your best interests at heart. The psalmist says, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Your children run and jump in your arms, do they not? Why? It is because they trust that you will catch them, that you will not let them fall. You place your money in a bank. Why? Because you trust the bank that they will keep your money safe. If you thought the bank was not solvent, you wouldn't put your money in that bank. You sat down in a certain pew this morning. And why'd you do that? Well, you trust that that particular pew can support you. In a sense, you trusted the pew. And you sit in that same pew week after week after week. So you have tested and you see that that pew is a good pew for you. Trust. Will you hallow God's name by trusting Him and His promises to you? Or will you take His name in vain, thinking that He cannot be trusted? Once again, let's think about Job. Job lost everything. I mean, just in a matter of minutes, he lost everything. He lost his family, his business, his health. And all that he was left with was a nagging wife who said, "Go ahead and sin." And then he had some of his best friends show up and said, "What did you do, Job? You must have messed up somewhere. Because this wouldn't have happened to a righteous man. You must be full of sin." That would irritate every one of us, wouldn't it? What does Job do? It says, "Though the Lord slay me, yet will I trust in Him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can you hallow the name of God like Job did? You know, it's easy to trust when everything's going your way, isn't it? The Israelites, they pretended a great trust in Yahweh as they were being led out of Egypt. Why was that? Well, they had just plundered Egypt. They had all this gold and silver and camels and donkeys and sheep and goats. They had all of this wealth. And yeah, with all this wealth, I'm trusting God. Then the sheep began to run out. No more camels, no more donkeys. All their provisions, earthly provisions, ran out. And they had no water. What did they do? The scriptures say that they began to murmur against the Lord. "If only we had died in Egypt. But now Moses... that character, he has brought us out into this desert to kill us." But the scriptures say that this was a test from the Lord to see if the people would hallow God's name. In other words, it was a test to see if the people were going to trust God and His word. But they failed. They took His name in vain. They ascribed unfaithfulness. They ascribed lying to God. He brought us out here, and now where is He? Have you ever met with affliction and sorrow? Yeah, you have. Maybe you've had a great loss, like Job. Maybe you've been under extreme stress, like the Israelites in the desert. How did you handle it? Did you trust and obey? Or did you grumble against God's providence? Did you say, I don't deserve this happening to me? Did you take God's name in vain by not trusting Him? Everything that happens in your life, the good and the bad, has come to you from the hands of a loving Father who has sent His Son to die for your sins, therefore ensuring and guaranteeing that all things will work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. It's interesting that when Paul writes that in Romans chapter 8, he doesn't go on to mention, well, we got a picnic coming up. We got a parade coming up. Circus is in town. Your team's going to win the Super Bowl. No, he doesn't mention pleasant things. He lists all these things that you do not want it to happen to you. Persecutions, famine, nakedness, martyrdom. He lists all these terrible things. But he says, but in Christ you are more than conquerors through that. Trust the words of God. Trust and obey. Because there ain't no other way. That's right. We may feel like God is going to destroy us with our sad and difficult providences. But let me tell you, if He was going to destroy you, He would have destroyed you before He brought you out of that spiritual Egypt where you were held in captivity by your sin. The fact that you have been delivered from your sin says that He ain't going to destroy you. Instead, He is going to crown you. But He will crown you after the cross. You carry the cross of Christ, then you will be given the crown of Christ. Because you will see that He is fully trustworthy to keep all of His promises to you. Psalm 91 says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. This is why we can always bring honor to God by trusting what He has said to us. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what God had promised. So Abraham hallowed God's name. He believed God's word and he acted upon what God said to do. And by doing so, Abraham ascribed to God trustworthiness, goodness, love, faithfulness, graciousness. The sad thing is that if people will not hallow God's name, God will make them hallow His name. In Exodus It says, God says, I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am God. Get this. God says, I'm going to gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am God. How did God get glory from Pharaoh and his army? Yeah, it wasn't a good experience for Pharaoh, was it? He drowned them all in the Red Sea. You see, Pharaoh, when he said to Moses, who is the Lord? I don't know him. When Pharaoh said that, he was taking God's name in vain. Well, Pharaoh knows who God is now. Same thing happened with Herod. Herod didn't give glory to God. But God got glory out of Herod. Scripture say in Acts chapter 12 that the angel of the Lord smote Herod because he refused to give glory to God. And he died and was eaten by worms. Wow. Scripture say that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Just think of the terror that Pharaoh and Herod must have experienced as they stood before the judgment of God. They smelled the smoke of the fires of hell. Their feet are beginning to get hot. And God says, because you did not hallow my name here on earth, you shall worship me in hell. But for the children of God, those who call him Father and keep his name holy, what a great comfort it is that when we face death or we face a difficult providence, that we have no reason to fear. Our calling then is to trust and obey. Therefore, let us keep the name of the Lord hallowed. Let us love him with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Let us live our lives as if we were already the inhabitants of heaven, the angels and the saints in heaven. They sanctify the Lord's name. They hallow the Lord's name. Let us also now be counted among the heavenly choir to sing the praises of God. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies unto us. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We pray, heavenly Father, that you would pour out grace to us, that we would hallow your name. Forgive us when we take your name in vain, when we do not trust your word. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, for that great sin. And instead, work in us and strengthen us that we would trust and obey. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand together and sing a hymn of response. Trust and Obey, hymn number 672.